This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 3rd of March 2010, and I'm talking with Stephen Cohn, one of the leading experts on whistleblower protection law in the United States, a former adjunct professor and clinical supervisor at the Antioch School of Law. He went on to found the National Whistleblower Center in 1988. He's the author of numerous works, including the Whistleblower Litigation Handbook, Concepts and Procedure in Whistleblower Law, American Political Prisoners, and many other important works. Mr. Cohn, it's an honor to have you here. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, Stephen Cohn, we've heard a little bit about your background, but let's get into some more detail about the National Whistleblower Center at whistleblowers.org. How and why did you come to found this organization, and what is its mission?
Its mission is to provide policy, educational, and advocacy on behalf of whistleblowers. We have no other agenda but to help American employees who have the courage to blow the whistle on corruption, on fraud, on health and safety violations. We're a safe harbor. We're a place where whistleblowers can go to try to get help.
Well, that is such an incredibly important topic, especially in today's political climate. And I want to get into some of the latest developments with whistleblower legislation in the Senate with you. But perhaps we should start by setting the table for the listeners out there. Can you give us a brief history of whistleblower legislation in the United States and then explain how things stand at the present moment?
Well, the whistleblower laws, the United States is in the forefront worldwide on whistleblower laws, because of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. That is the quintessential whistleblower protection law. Freedom of speech, the right to speak out on matters of public concern. And so much of what we do is trying to fight back attacks on First Amendment rights. Federal government employees, public employees, have the right under the First Amendment to let the American people know, to let Congress know about violations of law, safety violations, corruption, etc. That's part of the fabric of our country. But what we see are assaults on that right, sometimes coming from the legislative branch, mostly from the executive branch, and often the courts refusing to adhere to those rights. And in the area of national security, this really comes up. Our government is willing to compromise the public's right to know in the name of national security. Now, obviously, there are some restrictions would be reasonable, but they've overplayed their hand. They have suppressed legitimate criticism, and the results have been devastating to our economy, to the nation's reputation. You know, you can look at the missteps leading to 9/11 and how people with information were intimidated or were not allowed to blow the whistle. You can look at the bad intelligence going into the war in Iraq. Why weren't the people with information that the grounds for that war were improper? Why were they not allowed to step forward? You can look at it with the mistakes in Afghanistan. I mean, there are so many times where American employees have had vital information that Congress needed, that the American public needed, that there was no reason to keep it secret, but to fulfill some policy objective of a politician that was not honest. And so the struggle is, how do you get that information that the public needs to know in order to, say, support a war or to be prepared for a terrorist attack? How do you get that information where it needs to be? And if there are problems, like they're not properly screening people, they're not connecting the dots, how does that information get to where it needs to go? And as long as whistleblowers are afraid to step forward or report the problems, we're in for some tough times.
Well, that analysis is exactly right, because the United States is something of a paradox at the current time, because it has been a beacon for the rest of the world for so long with the First Amendment and everything that it represents when we compare it to places like the Great Britain, where it's so easy for the government to issue basically credence to say that someone does not have the right to speak on a certain subject.
Yeah. I'll give you an example. Yeah, let me just give an example of what we're facing today. Right now, under the First Amendment, we're supposed to have the right of freedom of speech without fear. But under this law the Senate is about to pass, it's going to give the director, just the director of any intelligence agency of the Department of Defense, of the Department of Commerce, the right to summarily fire any whistleblower with no judicial review, no administrative review, if the Secretary of Commerce, the head of Justice, the head of the Defense Department, either of them say, oh, it's in the interest of national security, you're fired, you have no rights. If this law passes, and if over one half of the entire federal workforce is subjected to summary firings with no judicial review for blowing the whistle, that impact will be devastating. It's a complete betrayal of the First Amendment. It's a betrayal of what I think America has come to expect of the rights of employees. But that is in the Senate law, and it's moving towards passage.
That's right, and you bring up S-372, which is moving towards passage right now, as you state, but I think it's also important to understand that this is just the latest step in a series of egregious violations of the First Amendment, and we can look at specific examples of people like Sybil Edmonds and her case trying to blow the whistle with the FBI and how she was gagged by the Justice Department. But who are some of the whistleblowers that you've worked with over the years, and what successes has your organization had in influencing whistleblower legislation?
Well, one was Dr. Frederick Whitehurst at the FBI. He was a supervisory special agent. He blew the whistle on the crime lab. He blew the whistle on due process violations in the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993, Oklahoma City bombing. And he had invaluable information about how they were manipulating forensic evidence illegally and in violation of due process. He blew the whistle. We relied upon the First Amendment and an obscure law that did give FBI agents the right to blow the whistle. It had never been used. It was buried in some act, but it said that FBI agents had the right. So we sued, and we actually sued President Clinton to enforce that law. We won the case. Whitehurst was vindicated. Clinton had to issue what essentially an executive order setting up a structure to protect FBI whistleblowers that many have used over the next 15 years. Guess what? The Senate bill actually rescinds that law, the very law that Dr. Whitehurst fought and got enforced. A law that President Clinton signed an order to give it teeth. This, by statute, repeals that law, returns all power to the FBI, and gives the FBI director the authority to summarily fire any whistleblower with no judicial review. I'll give another example. We represented Sybil Edmonds, who blew the whistle on problems with the United States' efforts to fight terrorism in translations. In her case, we filed in federal court, and they invoked what's known as the state secrets privilege. It's a terrible privilege. It allowed the attorney general to go into court and ask the court to throw her case out. The attorney general had to sign an affidavit under oath attesting to direct personal knowledge of these state secrets, and explain why the case should be thrown out. The court was supposed to exercise independent judgment and toss the case, and her case was dismissed. This new law eliminates that basic procedure. If the government wants to have the next Sabelle Edmonds case thrown out, they won't have to go to court, they won't have to file an affidavit, and they won't have to seek judicial approval. The director of the FBI or the head of the CIA or the head of the Department of Defense can simply say, I, in my discretion, find this case will interfere with national security. You're fired. You have no rights. So as bad as the Sabelle Edmonds case was, how terribly she was mistreated will actually become far worse. Because these, I would say, constitutional thugs, administrators who have no respect for the public right to know, no respect for freedom of speech, they want more power. And they're going to get it if this law passes.
Absolutely. And now that I think people out there are starting to get an idea of just how draconian this legislation really is, let's get into some more details about S-372 and how it's being ramrodded through the Senate at the moment. What is this legislation? Where did it come from? And how is it being ramrodded through the Senate at the moment?
Well, the law is extremely complex. In fact, back in maybe 8 years ago, I actually testified in support of the law. And that was because it was part of a reform effort to fix the federal whistleblower system and strengthen it. And there are some parts of this law, it's maybe 70 pages long, that are good and that will actually help some federal employees. But in the last minute, the White House, at the beck and call of the national security establishment, stuck onto the law, what we call poison pills, a section on national security, which reversed over 30 years of some progressive movement and created one of the worst regimes that will actively suppress whistleblowing in national security areas. They just stuck it on the bill with no debate. And that's what we're trying to fight as hard as we can to get off the bill. Now, here's the problem. The law is moving through a process known as unanimous consent. Now, I'm a lawyer, and I've studied legislation. It still surprises me to learn how these laws can get passed. This law can get passed with no vote. What simply happens is that it's put on a calendar, and senators have a certain amount of days to object to it. If nobody objects, it passes. It never goes to the floor for a debate. And this is what is going on right now, because it's no doubt that these terrible national security provisions, no one wants to take to the Senate floor and put their name on these provisions. So what they're doing is a process known as unanimous consent. And once every senator just doesn't object to it, it becomes a Senate law. It still would have to get approved by the House. And we're afraid that if this law moves in its current position, it could get signed into law. Why? It has some good provisions on it. Non-national security federal employees will get some benefits out of this law. So they've essentially pitted some federal employees against others. Employees that say work for like the Department of Labor that have no national security function will get benefits. But employees who work at the FBI will lose rights they've had for 20 years. And we think that is totally wrong, and those national security provisions have to get fixed in the Senate. Someone has to have the courage to stand up to the national security establishment and say, you need to give whistleblowers protection, and a law designed to eliminate those protections can't pass. But this bogeyman of national security can't just intimidate every senator into being silent.
That's right. And just as every senator knows that it would be a form of political suicide to vote for such draconian legislation, they should be made to understand that it could be a form of political suicide to not vote against it. And I'd like to take a moment to stress for the listeners just how important it is for them to take action on this particular issue, because I think people often tend to have a conception that whistleblowing is a type of random event that spontaneously occurs when a good-hearted person uncovers some form of corruption. But I don't think people have an adequate appreciation of how whistleblowing is really propped up and made possible by a legal framework of protection. And this is a point in this legislation where the average John and Jane Doe out there has a chance to protect the whistleblowers who are out there and those who are yet to come. And perhaps you can expand on the importance of people taking action and getting on their senator's case about S-372 and becoming involved with groups like the National Whistleblower Center that are seeking to bolster whistleblower protection laws.
Yeah, the process is extreme. It's complex, but this is a law that every American citizen can have impact on. Why? Your senator cannot hide. This is not something a senator can say, I'm not on the committee, or we don't have 60 votes. Because any one senator can block the legislation. Because it's not going to be voted on in the full Senate, it's going through unanimous consent, any one senator can say, stop it. And any one senator can say, hey, if you want my consent, don't take away the rights that already exist for FBI whistleblowers. Don't let the directors of one half of the federal workforce have the power to summarily fire whistleblowers. Change these parts of the law, and I'll support it. But so it's incredible because it's almost like a committee of 100, and each senator has the power to stop it. And what that means is then the Senate has a choice. They either fix the law or they have to bring it to the floor for a vote, one or the other. So every constituent, every person listening to this show can go on to our webpage, whistleblowerswithans.org, get the action alert and the information about the law. We've actually cited and copied pages from the law that you can look at. Contact your senator, and don't take no for an answer. All of the dodges they'll give about, you know, I don't have jurisdiction, etc., are not true. They have the power to stop the law in its track and either force a vote or have it fixed. And the information's on the webpage. If they need more information, they can contact our organization. So this is a place where citizen action will have impact.
Stephen Cohn, how does legislation that starts off as whistleblower protection reform become the exact opposite? And who is behind that process of manipulating that legislation?
Well, it happens by the oldest trick in the book called divide and conquer. You figure out who the constituents are. You give some what they want. For example, the law has protections for scientists. That's good. The law has protections for TSA screeners. That's good. And then you figure out who you want to pick out. And in this process, what happened was the National Security Establishment, the FBI, the Department of Defense, the CIA, played a very strong hand. And they said in the negotiating process, you know, if you want these reforms, we are going to get our way. And it caused division, and both within the Senate, and then essentially it's the compromise process. And unfortunately, on the question of national security whistleblowers, people were not willing to stand up and say, you can't do this. And where did this come from? I regret to say it came from the White House. Did it come from Obama personally? No. But did it come from his national security staff, the same staff that, say, has been taking other moves on national security that have not been the most progressive? The answer is yes. His national security staff got feedback from the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and let those agencies draft a whistleblower law, and it was shocking. The very agencies that fire the whistleblowers, that intimidate the employees, put together their dream legislation. I call it the drunken soldier law, the drunken sailor law. And no offense to sailors, but it's like these guys were given the pen and they just went way overboard. Because the law is incredible. Because first, the whistleblower's case is investigated by the agency that fired them. Second, there's no confidentiality. So the agency that fires you then uses that process to discredit you. That's all made public. That can all go to take away your security clearance. Then, if somehow you win, if somehow the very agency that fires you decides they want to rehire you, the head of the agency can just summarily dismiss your case, no matter what. So, how does the whistleblower win? And the risk to the whistleblower in using this process is enormous, because we've seen it many times when agencies issue reports about their own whistleblowers, they usually use that as an excuse to attack the whistleblower further. That's why every whistleblower law has an independent agency looking into the merits of the whistleblower case. There is no whistleblower law that gives the agency that fires you the authority. We're saying, just give it to the Inspector General, at least. Any form of independence, but not back to the very agency that fired you, and they have refused to budge. But for the FBI, it's far worse, because the FBI agents today have rights that they have had on, as a matter of law since 1978, and as a matter of reality since 1995, when Clinton signed the order giving those laws teeth, and they actually are repealing existing rights. The FBI, through its political power, convinced the White House to take away rights. So they're using a Whistleblower Enhancement Act to take away existing rights for FBI agents and create a system that will do in whistleblowing for our generation within the entire national security establishment. If passed, it will be the single most devastating legislative setback for national security whistleblowers ever. That's what we're looking at.
Well, very sobering analysis, but we need to take a look at this, and we really need to cogitate on what we are potentially losing with this type of legislation. And we have been concentrating on this recently on the Corbett Report, and I'd just like the listeners out there to think about all of the incredibly courageous whistleblowers who have stepped forward in the national security arena over the past decade, from Colleen Rowley and Sybelle Edmonds and Robert Wright and J. Michael Springman and many, many others, all of whom have faced some form of intimidation or persecution for their actions. And to think that even the attention that they were able to garner would not be possible under the new legislation is a chilling and sobering thought. So people definitely need to become involved. So tell us once again about your whistleblowers.org website and what people can find there.
At whistleblowerswithans.org, we have extensive information on the Senate bill. We have a recent action alert that was signed by Sybelle Edmonds and also an FBI whistleblower, Jane Turner. She was a 25-year veteran agent who was fired when she disclosed that FBI agents were stealing souvenirs from the 9/11 crime scene. They're actually taking things from it and bringing him home. It was very revolting. But because she turned in her agents for theft, she was considered persona non grata and got fired. Well, and she's pursuing one of these FBI whistleblower cases, which will be automatically thrown out if this law passes. So they signed a letter setting forth the problems with the law. So that letter is on the website, which then you can just press a couple buttons and you can get your letter to the senator that you can send to your senator. There will also be information about just contacting your senator, because, again, this is the type of action alert, the type of citizen involvement for which a senator will have to listen to and for which a senator should take action, because it's every senator has the power to stop this. We also have, you can link and you can read the entire law, and we have a series of blog entries, 10 major blog entries, analyzing the problems with the whole law. But what we're focused on right now is the parts of the law that, if enacted, will make things worse, but not just worse in a small way, that will set back the protections for national security whistleblowers for our lifetime. It would, from my experience dealing in Washington, it could take 50 years, if you're lucky, to dig out of the legislative mess that this law will pass. And the CIA and the NSA and the FBI know this. That's why they're fighting so hard to get through a law that should be universally condemned.
Well, perhaps no better image exists of what we're fighting against than the idea of FBI agents stealing their memento mori from the 9/11 crime scene. And that's the type of corruption that needs to be exposed, and we need to do what we can to expose it. And every little bit helps, so people have to get involved with this. Well,
let me just explain how crazy it is. So Jane Turner blew the whistle on FBI theft at the crime scene. Under this law, the current law they want to repeal, she went to the inspector general. They conducted a thorough independent investigation, determined that about 40 agents had stolen things, everything from T-shirts with blood on it to American flags to thousands of pounds of debris that people, wanted to make their own home sculptures, all in violation of law, all messing up a crime scene. Jane Turner was right. But what happened? She was fired. And right now, she was able to contest her firing in a Department of Justice hearing, which we're in the process of going through. Now, is this the best thing in the world? No. Should she be able to go to court? Yes. But Department of Justice hearing is a lot better than the FBI that just wanted to fire her. Under this law, the Inspector General would have lost their jurisdiction to investigate her claims of theft. We know what the FBI would have done internally. Her case before the Justice Department will be dismissed because they'll lose jurisdiction. And guess what? She will be able to go right back to the very FBI that fired her and ask for her job back. Good luck. I mean, that's what the FBI gets if they win this case, the dismissal of all pending FBI whistleblower cases. That's what's at stake.
Again, very, very sobering. And just on a related note, people might want to take a look at the New York Times article from March 13th, 2004. Like others, Rumsfeld has 9/11 memento, which again contains some.
He took some.
Exactly. Extremely, extremely disturbing information. But it needs to come out, so we have to help those who are helping to bring it out. Mr. Stephen Cohen, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.